On episode 8 of The Fetish Show, a BDSM controversy hits our hometown. Zoe and I discover a hidden castle. Storytime with Princess Zoe gets raunchy, plus roller derby and fondue coming up after this message.
I'm Master Math Slave, and I love puppy play. Go to FetLife.com and add me as a friend so we can shake paws.
The Fetish Show brings you the latest in alternative photography, modeling, art, and fetish lifestyle. Your host is renowned fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper. I'm a fetish photographer, and I'm joined, as always, by Princess Zoe, who is a professional dominatrix.
Hi, Dirk. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Let's talk a little bit about our stats that we've had here on The Fetish Show.
Yes, tell us what they are. I'm excited to hear this.
For October alone, we're only on episode 8 right here. For October alone, we had 5,276 listeners.
Damn!
From around the world, hits on our site include from the UK, 1,833.
Wow.
From China, 628. From the Russian Federation, 142. And even from those crazy people in the United Arab Emirates, we had 50 hits from them.
Damn, they're probably the people from Saudi Aramco.
Can you believe
over
that?
That's
pretty crazy, right?
Wow.
Since we began 4 months ago, hits on our website total 105,528.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for hitting our site.
So we have quite a few listeners for just having 8 episodes. This being the 8th episode. And we have a ton of people that are hitting the site like crazy.
Well, I've gotten messages from people out in California, in Canada, that said they've heard our podcast. I'm like, wow, like, where did you hear it from? Either Twitter or just some Tweeterly.
You just make up whatever you want to. That's cool.
Make up shit because I can't talk sometimes. No, but I'm like, where did you hear about it? Either just somebody mentions it or I don't know. It's just out there.
Well,
wow.
It's out there on the internet, and I do have the website optimized, and we make our rounds.
Well, and then we've gotten some good contacts from people contacting us saying they've heard it. So you guys keep listening and tell your friends.
Yeah, we like to hear from you, absolutely.
And go to iTunes and hear us.
Which, yeah, absolutely. Go to iTunes and leave us some good comments on there. It sure makes a big difference. And you can always get in touch with us directly at info@thefetishshow.com if you want to email us directly. And also you can go to the website, which is thefetishshow.com.
Sign our guest book.
Yeah, sign up on our comments list there.
Yes, and send us email. And call us, because we have a phone number.
Well, it's interesting that you should mention that. We have a toll-free number. It is 1-888-506-0221. Call us. Leave us a message. We'll put your voice on the air if you've got something interesting to say.
Could you tell us that number again, Dirk?
It is 1-888-506-0221.
You didn't say it in a sexy voice, but that's okay.
Sorry. This is the only voice I got.
You got to say it twice, you know.
I know. I understand. So, last weekend, we went to the Toxic Goddess Halloween party.
Yes, we did.
What did you think about all that?
I adored it. It was great. What a great venue. And the girls looked great. You guys were awesome. You and Robert were cool over there, like sitting back between the midst of all these hot chicks.
Well, we're surrounded by hot chicks, which is always a good thing.
Yes.
It always makes us look better.
It made y'all look a lot down
better. It's like,
better.
Who are those guys over there, and why are they surrounded by hot chicks?
That apparently like them.
See, it elevates us.
They think that it's because you have a big dick. That's why.
Well, they would be right.
Or a lot of money. Or both.
That may not be the case.
Thank you for having me come out. You know, didn't make an appearance. Because
well, Princess Zoe was our special guest at that event, and she's involved in some stuff with Toxic Goddess with us, which we always appreciate her help and assistance on stuff.
Well, I appreciate being there.
And I think maybe the biggest part of the deal, besides just having fun with everyone and meeting a lot of people, making some really great connections, honestly, was finding the hidden castle, because it is hidden, you know. It's in the title. Finding the hidden castle, which is actually a really awesome venue.
It's a great venue. I mean, it's a building, and the owners just take such a vested interest into everything that goes on there. You can just do, have parties there. You can have your wedding reception there. You can go see a drag show there.
Well, I was amazed at the diversity of what they were talking about. They were talking about, I mean, obviously the night that we were there, there were a number of DJs that were showing up and playing some really awesome music. They also have, as you said, some drag shows there, yes. Drag queen shows. They also have, even country music, you know, rock and roll, or just events, you know, just different things. They had a fashion show not too terribly long ago, which is something maybe I should mention. It was the Four Star Social Fashion Show, which I donated some of the, what was the grand prize, which is $500 in photography, to the winner for that event.
You're so nice.
Thanks.
Now you won't go to hell.
That's right. So in any case, the Hidden Castle was maybe one of the best parts of actually going and doing the Toxic Goddess Halloween party.
I agree with you. It's a really refreshing venue.
Right.
It's not just a bar. It's not just a restaurant. It's just an all-around.
And it looks like a castle.
It looks like a fucking castle. But how it's cool clean is that? Inside. But it's clean inside.
Yeah, well.
I wonder if it has a dungeon.
I don't think it has a dungeon, but it needs one.
We could change that.
No doubt about it. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about your trip to Dallas, which was maybe a month or so ago, and you went to a place called The Melting Pot.
I did. Well, I went to talk over some things with Kitten. I think you guys have heard me talk about Kitten before or know about him. She was on the show. I went down there to visit her. We decided to go out to eat dinner, actually, with the guy that made my throne. And Kitten chose The Melting Pot. And it's a fondue place. Who would have thunk it? So.
Makes a hell of a fondue.
Well.
Who does that routine?
I don't know. What?
Makes a hell of a fondue.
Oh, no one. What do you mean?
I don't know. Please go on.
Well, what's really, really cool about this place is that I started talking to the waiter, and he was, you know, kind of curious what we're doing, who we are, whatever. Well, we would mention a few things. Well, he would...
George Carlin says that.
He would go back
to... George Carlin with the fondue thing. Okay, go on, please.
Well, he would go back to the back. And they had a laptop back there. They were, like, bringing up my photos on the website, bringing up Toxic Goddess. And then he'd bring back, another waiter every time. The whole place was, like, crowded around the table.
So you were, like, a big celebrity there.
Well, I was like something. I don't know.
How did that start?
And then the manager comes out, you know, and I said, well, we're going to leave and we're going to go to a bar. I want to go to a peeler bar. Where's it? A near strip club. And so they all get together. They go look it up. And oh, you'll want to go to this one. They're very, very fetish friendly. Looked up all our websites. Was very much in awe of Princess Zoe and Toxin Goddess and the Fetish Show. And so we're welcome back anytime. So I highly recommend The Melting Pot in Arlington. And if you like fondue, or even if you don't, it's I don't know what the fuck fondue is, but but they put like this pot.
Didn't you eat there?
No, I really did. No offense, they know I didn't either. I mean, no offense to them. I mean, it's just I didn't want duck, that duck, some duck, raw duck meat. I don't know.
Raw duck meat?
Well, see, I'm making it sound like it's not a good place to eat. It is. It's just meat. Listen, this is the deal. Okay, they have this thing in the middle of the table. It gets hot, like a hot thing. And they put these pots of...
Isn't it like cheese? Don't you dip stuff in cheese?
Well, that's what you would think.
Or chocolate.
But no. Obviously, it's evolved.
Okay. It's so evolved.
You get a choice. You get a choice of two different pots of shit. Not that this shit, but we got a pot of broth and a pot of cheese, I think. So, and then they bring you plates of stuff that you boil it in this one. I'm not making this sound good, am I? Well, I don't mean to. The cheese was good, and you dip shit in cheese and in broth, and you boil stuff. And they have marshmallows at the end with some chocolate. You can get chocolate, like different chocolate, and it's hot and you dip.
Right.
Anyway, I suggest going there because it's fun, okay?
Well, that's a good reason. And that's at I guess, meltingpot.com.
And there is the Taco Bell close by.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, you guys. Anyway, they know I love them. All right. So, yes, the Melting Pot in Dallas, in Arlington.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about roller derby stuff, because apparently someone is doing a little roller girl action.
Yes, I am. I started practicing with the roller derby team here in Oklahoma City. It's amazingly fucking hard. Oh, my God. And it's not a joke. It's not the roller derby of the goddamn fucking 80s whenever people were like slamming each other around, doing the cat fights and shit. It's
like American Gladiators.
Yeah, it's not your fake wrestling shit at all. At all. It's hard. It's fucking hard. I love it. It's great.
And we've got pictures of you with like the bruises that you've gotten from your practices.
Well, I had.
Are we going to share those?
Sure. Those were great bruises. I didn't have my my wrist pads on at the time. I wear all my gear. I mean, you have to have on your knee pads, your elbow pads, your wrist pads, your hand.
Do you tie a pillow around your butt? Or?
Well, no. You can buy your running shorts with padded ass in them.
Wow.
So.
If you're into that.
Yo, you fall down once or twice and you're fucking into it. That shit fucking hurts. Listen, it's the Tornado Alley Roller Derby Girls, and the staff that runs the team is great. Switchblade Rosie is my coach, mm-hmm. and all of the girls out there are awesome. They teach you to skate. If you don't know how to skate, which I already knew how to skate. I was a pretty good skater. Not a good roller derby player. That takes time. But they work with you, get your skill level up. They try to fucking kill you. And if you're still alive at the end, then you get to try out for the team. And then if you still are alive, you get to play eventually.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yes, and bruise you and hurt you. But anyway, I'll try out actual tryouts in December. And if I make it, I will get to play in January. If I don't, then I'll have to try out again. I think the next one's the next year. But
it's
okay. I'm not in a big hurry. It's okay if I don't make it right then. Those girls can kick your ass. Oh, my God. Anyway.
Sounds interesting.
Well, look them up online and come see some bouts, some games.
Online, they are www.okcrd, that's Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. roller derby, okcrd.com.
Well, thank you for mentioning that.
You're
I
welcome.
Want everyone to come see me.
You're welcome. The final thing we're going to talk about here in the intro is that we are awaiting an article in Dark Fairy Subculture Magazine.
About the fetish show.
It's 4 pages. It's got some pictures of Princess Zoe. Okay, and it's got pictures of me too.
Okay,
I'm sorry to report that there are pictures of me there.
You're cute, honey. Come on.
And we got 4 pages. It's pretty nice.
That's amazing.
We had there's a writer who interviewed both of us. It's kind of a retrospective of who we are and what we're doing here on the Fetish Show. And the article just really turned out amazing.
It was good timing because we had just talked about, I think the episode before, of kind of letting people know a little bit more about us and the mission, what we're doing. So
yeah, absolutely.
So it's not as in-depth, I think, as what we eventually want to put out there, but it was a good thing for us.
We don't know yet whether it's going to be the November or December issue, but as soon as we know, we will definitely tell you. So that's...
And what's the website for that?
You would ask for that. I believe it's darkfairy-subculture.com, but if I'm wrong, I will correct myself by the next time that I get the opportunity.
I can't believe you just didn't have that information stand about. Well, you are slacking.
That was
man.
The only thing that I didn't. I've listed off about 20 websites in this particular segment, and you asked me the one that I didn't have.
Because I didn't hear you list the website.
Yeah, sorry about that. There might have been a reason for that. Thanks, Zoe.
Oh, sorry.
All right, next up is the Fetish News.
And now the Fetish Show News Desk.
On this episode of the Fetish News, we actually have some local news, which has the potential to blow up, at least in the local community, or actually could go beyond that. And what we're talking about is a local trial, which is specifically about BDSM in a domestic abuse situation right here in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Over the past 3 days, there's been 5 stories in one of our local newspapers on their website.
It's being heavily covered by media here.
And in the newspaper.
Yes.
Plus several television stations and some other stuff. But
yes.
In particular, the Oklahoman has made it a high priority to keep this in the news for the last 3 days.
Well, you don't even see this kind of coverage on something very significant like a murder.
No.
So.
No, and some of the things that happen in this article, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the final article because there's been a resolution, or at least a temporary resolution to this, although this is not over.
I guess we'll not say final article, but the final one for this.
That's final
round.
One for right now. Yes. Yeah, for right now, this is the final article, and it kind of goes over everything that happened. I am going to take the names of the defendant and the victim out of this news article. So if I stammer here in a couple of places, I'm trying to replace their names with defendant.
Yeah, the Daily Oklahoma's
and the
online, and you know, public knowledge, so everyone can go there.
I'm also going to link to these articles. So if you want to see what we're talking about, then yeah, you're welcome to. But I'm not going to spread the names around myself.
And I would like to state up front, though, that the Fetish Show, Dirk Cooper, or Princess Zoe, do not personally intend to give an opinion on as to guilt or innocence in this criminal trial. Our purpose here is to report the news as it's happening right now.
Well, this is local news, and this is, I mean, we're 8 episodes into the Fetish Show, and this is potentially a big deal, at least for the local community. It could have ramifications down the road. We live in an exceptionally conservative state.
Yes.
And I guarantee you that there are people who have read the last 3 days of excessive coverage and will react to this in ways that, I mean, there's no way to predict at this time.
And the articles are named Fetish, BDSM, Bondage.
Right. And I'm going to go into that here in a minute, too. But anyway, I'm going to read the last article that they've put out on this for the time being. Prosecutors vowed Friday to retry an Oklahoma City sex fetish master after his domestic abuse case ended in a mistrial because of juror misconduct. The retrial of the defendant was set for February 28th or April 18th. The carpenter will remain in Oklahoma County Jail. District Judge Racy Elliott on Friday morning declared the mistrial after sheriff's deputies reported a juror was drunk and possibly high on drugs. Deputies had picked up the juror at an Oklahoma City residence after the juror failed to show up for the trial Friday morning. The judge removed the juror, Marvin Brown Jr., 27, from the jury and then had him arrested inside the courthouse. Brown faces a contempt of court hearing Monday morning. The unusual trial gave the jury an inside look at the so-called BDSM lifestyle. BDSM is short for bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, and sadomasochism. Quote, bizarre, one juror, Jeremy Neal, said of the testimony. Quote, it was unexpected. I never heard of this kind of thing, said Neal of Oklahoma City. When you look at him, he looks like a normal person. District Attorney David Prater decided to handle the case personally. He said he will prosecute the defendant again on all 3 accounts, a felony kidnapping count, a felony domestic abuse count, and a misdemeanor domestic abuse count. This isn't about BDSM. This is about a guy who likes to hurt women, Prater told the Oklahoman. The 11 remaining jurors agreed that the defendant was guilty of the domestic abuse counts, but were split on the kidnapping count, several jurors told the Oklahoman. Jurors discussed the case informally in the jury room after the judge declared the mistrial. The gentleman, who is accused of attacking his girlfriend the morning of February 17th because she decided to leave him. The girlfriend, who I will not name, had moved in with him in November 2009 after they met online at a fetish website. She is married and from Utah. The two signed a contract, or she signed a contract last year, designating him master and her slave. She has tattooed on her lower back, forever and always property of this person, according to the evidence introduced in the trial. The 12 jurors were to have begun deliberations Friday after hearing closing arguments. If he'd been convicted on all three accounts, he would have been sentenced to up to 31 years in custody. He could have opted to have the 11 remaining jurors deliberate the case, but he decided not to. The judge then declared the mistrial. The judge had not picked an alternate juror who could have filled in for Brown. The judge said, "We are financially strapped like you would not believe," the judge explained to the jury after declaring the mistrial. "We have one paper shredder in this building. It's broken. We don't have the money to get it fixed." The judge explained he also didn't pick an alternate because he expected the trial to be relatively short. Prosecutors went forward with their case, even though the victim, the alleged victim, told jurors that she had made up her accusations. She had told friends, police, and an emergency room doctor in February that he handcuffed, choked, and beat her against her will at his home February 17th. She said she packed up after he freed her and then moved a few days later back to Utah. She has since reconciled with the defendant and lives with him again. She testified Wednesday that he actually did nothing to her February 17th except hit her in the eye accidentally during a bedroom argument. She said that the other injuries photographed by police at the hospital came from consensual rough sex on a different day and a fall February 6th. Prosecutors allege the defendant beat her February 17th when she decided to end the relationship. They alleged he did the same thing to another girlfriend in 2002. The individual who was the alleged victim had said in February she was upset because she caught him having sex with another woman in a nightclub parking lot. The defendant told jurors Thursday he had not attacked his girlfriend February 17th. He also denied cheating on her. He said he was drunk and slept after he accidentally gave her a black eye with his elbow.
Sorry.
The judge revoked his bail Thursday because of misconduct during a break in testimony. Prosecutors listed, basically they listed his middle name incorrectly. Jurors learned during the trial that BDSM enthusiasts call their sex practices play. They call those not in their lifestyle vanilla. Jurors also heard about safe words and dominance and submissives. The alleged victim told jurors, "Being spanked turns me on. I don't know why. It's a switch in my brain." She said her father has told her she is going to hell. She quote, "I grew up in a very strict Mormon lifestyle. I know what people think about this," she testified. Some jurors called the practices disgusting. Others were more accepting, saying it was only an extreme version of such things, like hair pulling, that lots of couples do during moments of passion. The arrested juror Brown was unsteady on his feet and smelled strongly of alcohol Friday morning. He had been a problem earlier in the trial for the judge, arriving Wednesday 90 minutes late. "I'm not drunk," Brown told the judge Friday morning. "I was drinking last night, but I'm not drunk." And that's the end of the story. Do you want to make any comments on this, Zoe?
Wow.
And mind you, that's one story out of five in the last 3 days, and it doesn't go into anywhere near. Let's say that some of the other articles were even more lascivious than this, and had all kinds of words and things that I think, frankly, were put in for. For the purposes of titillation.
I agree with everything that you've said. I do have some things to say. First, I would like to say that I don't think that this is all negative on the community, because in a way, people are learning some things about the lifestyle, and I think that some people will, in fact, identify, even though some people think it's strange or whatever. Still, in the end, it's not the fucking topic. It's not the issue. BDSM, the lifestyle, the community is not the fucking issue. The issue is domestic violence.
Right.
Kidnapping.
Which is not interchangeable.
Right. The things that he's charged with are crimes.
Right.
He's not charged with BDSM. He's not charged with, you know, bondage. He's charged with kidnapping. Okay.
No, but BDSM is on trial because of the way that the defendant is defending himself. And the media is portraying it.
Well, I would think that if you are afraid of kidnapping charges, you may want to bring a slave contract in and say, here, see, this is what I'm doing. Here's the slave contract. I'm not kidnapping. This is an agreement. Well, that's my opinion. I'm sticking to
right.
it.
And this is all our opinion.
It's all our opinion. Let me get back to this. I have issues with the way the article's written, as you know.
Right.
I have issues with the way all the articles are written. A lot of it to me is it's not even conjecture. It's fucking just someone else's opinion. It's not
right.
even exactly fact.
Right.
So I would urge anybody that does read this information to take that with, do your own investigation before you come to determination whether
right.
anytime whether the media is accurate. So I'll stop talking for a minute, let you go ahead and say what you
all right well
say.
I've got kind of a lengthy commentary on this issue because I think that it brings up a lot of things that I mean I think since we have a forum here, this is an opportunity for us to maybe voice our opinion in this case and maybe give an opinion which is pro BDSM lifestyle as opposed to what's being presented in the media right now.
Good deal. I have opinions on all of it.
Right.
So I'm trying to reserve my
exactly
what I say. Go ahead.
So what follows is not a comment on this specific case. That's for a jury to decide, not me. In the spirit of full disclosure, I know at least a couple of the people involved in this case. I wasn't there, and I am radically opposed to the rumor mongering that takes place within the BDSM community, so I will not practice that here. What follows is my personal thoughts about the media and about BDSM relationships in general. First off, let's tackle the media. I have spoken several times on the Fetish Show about how the mainstream media addresses BDSM issues with either childish humor or by painting members of the BDSM community as freaks. This case is no different. I have a few questions for the editor of the Oklahoma newspaper, Ed Kelly. How does the Oklahoman justify five stories in 3 days on a routine domestic violence case? Why are there photos of the alleged victim in your article, along with the real names and scene names of everyone involved? Why was the Oklahoman thrown out any semblance of journalistic integrity regarding victims' rights to anonymity? None of the people in this case are public figures. Why are they being treated as such? I've been practicing search engine optimization for nearly a decade, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that the Oklahoman has chosen the article titles specifically to drive traffic to their site. Words in an article title like bondage, sexual bondage, fetish, and sex are merely for titillation. Furthermore, the attention that the Oklahoman is giving this routine domestic violence case is absolutely off the charts. It is not acceptable or ethical to drag the names and lives of private individuals through the mud for the sake of generating interest in your newspaper. Just because someone practices BDSM in their household does not give you latitude to treat those individuals like a sideshow act to drive sales. It's exceptionally poor journalism, and it's no excuse for what is tantamount to character assassination of not only the defendant, but the alleged victim, particularly in the case with such relative unimportance. Shame on the Oklahoman and Ed Kelly. You raise old-fashioned yellow journalism to new heights with your coverage of this story. This is why the Columbia Journalism Review gave the Oklahoman the title of America's Worst Daily Newspaper in 1999. Congratulations, it's good to see that nothing has changed since then. Next, I have a brief thought regarding the effects that this case will have on the BDSM community. What disturbs me most about this case is the causal linkage between domestic abuse and BDSM. Those two things have no relation to each other in any way, shape, or form. We have to be better at keeping our own house clean to prevent this sort of story from making it to the public, because you can be sure that the mainstream media will not treat us fairly. The point where BDSM becomes abuse is the point that the relationship goes beyond the tenets of safe, sane, and consensual. I don't care if you signed a slave contract or how serious you are about the lifestyle, you have to be respectful and responsible with your partners at all times. To the dominants out there that are listening to me right now, you should know that with great power comes great responsibility. While few relationships end without heartbreak or animosity, the bottom line is a submissive that comes to you should leave as a better person for having served you. There is never an excuse to use your power in a way that is abusive, either psychologically or physically. If you are abusive, you're not being dominant. You're being a douchebag. Ultimately, you're not just a threat to submissives, you're a threat to the community at large.
Very, very well written. Wow. Very.
Thank you.
Very amazing. I would like to say a couple of things about this. I'm going to go ahead and let you in a little bit about my personal life. I am a domestic violence sexual assault advocate, trained advocate. And one thing about this case is that it's just like most every other domestic violence case that does go to criminal trial or criminal court. A lot of times the victim or the abused person or alleged abused person will impeach themselves or change their testimony and say, no, this guy didn't do it. I lied. I didn't know. I don't know. He didn't hit me. I fell down, whatever. They changed their story. They don't want to get him in trouble anymore. So there's no way really to prosecute at that point because you don't have a witness anymore. So there's a lot of similarities to domestic abuse. I mean, you could look at it and see where the female or the abused person will leave several times and reunite, leave several times and reunite. There'll be incidents of history of the police coming out or going to the hospital. So all these things are very common to domestic violence cases. So just the added BDSM shit on top of it really, you know, I don't want to say it's irrelevant.
It's superfluous.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but this is a criminal case, okay? If this person has done what he is accused of, he has committed a crime. He's committed a crime. And it's very common, all the things that are going on. So you're exactly right. What are we looking at the BDSM for? Just because it's there and it's exciting or it's unusual or whatever.
Right.
I totally agree that we need to police ourselves. I had heard rumors and things in the past about particular people. And, you know, I don't judge. If I hear something about someone, I'm like, well, I don't know that person. I can't judge by what you're telling me. But I urge our community, the lifestyle community, to put something in place. I suggest that there be an authority amongst us that if complaints are made on a particular person, enough complaints, that somebody will go out and ask the questions. Hey, what's going on? We got several calls. Something's happening. You know, what's the deal? I don't know the answer, okay, but I know that my concern is that abuse happens and it gets bypassed or overlooked. It's not that abuse happens and you go to court for it. I'm glad if it's happened. I'm glad you're in a criminal court. That's where you fucking belong. So my concern is for the people that may be in a situation where they can't get out or it's being masked. So we've got to figure out something. Something needs to be in place where we police ourselves. So
I think I think to just to follow up on that a little bit, it's a little difficult for to have maybe an authority established to do that sort of thing. I'm not saying it's impossible. I just say that that's
it is difficult.
There's all kinds of problems with doing that sort of thing. On the other hand, if maybe and hey, you know, call in, send us an email or something if there's something set up to do this. But is there anything out there that we have to help some of the people who need to get out from underneath an abusive situation who are in a BDSM relationship?
Well, you do have your local shelters. I mean, there is
right.
systems in place. But then again, that's how these grassroots things started, was like MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving,
right.
and now they're changing laws in our country. So if within a community there's something happen, even if it's the lifestyle community, we can effectively
right.
somehow put together something that is an authority and it is the best we can do to police
some
ourselves.
People who are a victim of this sort of thing may be reluctant to go to the hospital or the police or something because they don't feel like they have a sympathetic ear because they are in a BDSM relationship.
I agree to that. And I caution everybody for that anyway, especially if you have children in your household. If you have children in your household and you have criminal domestic violence going on, you make a report against your partner, chances are you are at risk of losing your children. So there's a lot of things to be considered when you are a victim in the situation. I wholeheartedly think that we need to put something together that we police ourselves. I don't know what. I'll have to think it over a little more in depth. But anyway, I agree with everything you said.
Hey, and we're open to hear other people's ideas. And again, there may be something out there that we're just not aware of. So get in touch with us, and we will give that information out on the air if there's some organizations that are set up to help
people
who are abused in a BDSM relationship.
In lieu of that, if call me, okay? If 10,000 people call me, or if one or two people call me about the same person, I'm going to go ask them, hey, guy. What's going on?
Or girl.
Or girl. So, you know, just being willing to step up and just go ask.
Right.
Anyway. Okay.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit. Let's get off of the news and let's get on to some upcoming events that sound pretty interesting. Both of these happen to be in Texas, as it turns out. The first one is the Fetish Fair Flea Market, which is November 12th through the 14th, 2010, at the Sheridan Houston Brook Hollow. They say anyone over 18 years of age, this is who the thing is for. Anyone over 18 years of age with an interest in BDSM, kink, fetish, leather, straight, gay, or in between, married, single, or polyamorous, male, female, or in transition, young, old, new, experienced, this event is open to all who have an interest in BDSM.
All right.
That pretty much covers the range, right?
The flea market.
What it is three straight days of educational seminars, demos, socials, meetups, and parties, all built around the best assortment of vendors and crafters in the area. Where else can you do comparison shopping on corsets, floggers, collars, restraints, and latex clothing? You won't find this stuff at Walmart, they say. And if you're interested in this, again, it's November 12th to the 14th. It's down in Houston. And you can check it out at www.fetishfairfleamarket.com. All right, our second event is the Dallas Fetish Ball, which is November 12th and 13th. Friday night, they have a players' party. On the main stage, they have as their guests Agent Red, Kumi Monster, Mosh, and Glory Hole Productions. There is what they call, are you sitting down? The Beat and Greet with the stars of the Dallas Fetish Ball, Buck Angel.
I love Buck.
Rubber Doll. Kumi, Mosh, Pantera, Angela Ryan, Athena Fatale, and Courtney Crave. That's some very interesting people there.
That's some very interesting stage names too.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, if you follow kind of the fetish modeling world or some of this other stuff, then some of these names may be familiar to you. It's actually a pretty impressive fetish lineup.
Buck Angel's going to be there.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going. I'm going. I'm going to go. If Buck's there, I am going.
On Saturday, their main event is a performance by Buck Angel, Rubber Doll, Mosh, and Pantera again. Fashioned by Baby Loves from Philadelphia. On the side stage, they have Glory Hole Productions. They also have the amazing Wheel of Pain, Circus Freaks, and the Green Screen Photo Booth. If you want to find out more, go to DallasFetishBall.com. We may be going to that, so
it's a little secret. We might be going there.
Just a little secret there that's out now.
Buck Angel's gonna be there.
Yeah, I know, Buck Angel. It's pretty wild.
I love Buck. Fan. I'm a big fan.
All right, and that's going to do it for the Fetish Show news.
And now, back to the Fetish Show.
All right, that was our overly serious fetish news segment. For those of you who are interested, and I don't think I mentioned it, I'm going to be posting the links to those, to the articles that I mentioned in the news. So you can check those out on our site if you're interested in reading more. Up next, we have an interview with a gentleman named Mark from the Hidden Castle.
One of our favorite places.
Right. We decided that since we enjoyed the Hidden Castle so much that we should probably have someone from the Hidden Castle come talk about that, and that's coming up next.
The Fetish Show feature presentation.
A couple of weeks ago, Zoe and I attended an event, which was the Toxic Goddess Halloween party, at a place called the Hidden Castle. And today we have the financial manager of the Hidden Castle, Mark. Welcome to the Fetish Show.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
Hi, thanks for being here.
Tell us a little history about the Hidden Castle.
Well, Kelly's had the building for about 10 years, and it's gone through several incarnations. Many people remember it as Buzz's Subs, which is a late-night sandwich delivery and performance venue.
Right.
And performance.
And performance.
Yeah. It's always
Subs and performance.
It's always had the theater. And then over the years, Kelly has rented out the restaurant portion of the business to a series of tenants, and none of them have ever really been able to make it. And after the most recent fiasco, Kelly decided he was just going to run it himself, and that way he could do it the way he really wanted to have it done. And so I came on board to help him, and so far it's going pretty good.
And he's a man with a plan, I believe.
He is the man with the plan.
I believe that he's revamping some things and has some new and improved ideas about the venues and events that he has at his facility. And I was glad to meet you guys when we were out there, Halloween party, no, the week before Halloween.
Right.
That's what it was. I was very impressed with that. The Toxic Goddesses were there. I was there. Friendly environment for fetish.
It's a very diverse group.
Alternative lifestyle clients
It's probably the only place you can go to see somebody, you know, like a drag queen sitting right next to a hick cowboy sharing a beer together and just talking about stuff.
And how would that happen?
Well, usually on Wednesday nights, we have a show called Bang Bang. It's kind of an all-lifestyle show. It's a dance party, drag show, and live performance art that these guys put on. And it's really something interesting. It's not your normal drag show. It's really more like going to a carnival act. Sometimes they'll have burlesque dancers or various stage performance shows.
Cool.
And it really draws quite a crowd. And everybody who's been there has just been, wow, you know, where did this come from?
That's definitely fetishy.
it draws a very diverse crowd. You know, people show up dressed however they want to.
Wow.
And it's really something. I was personally very amazed when I saw that.
So the Bang Bang show is on Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night. We've booked them for every Wednesday night, and you know, we'll start probably doing them on the occasional Saturday as well once they start getting a better crowd together. But right now it's every Wednesday night. Doors open at 9. And the show usually starts around 10 o'clock. And, you know, there's just a big dance party with all kinds of crazy acts on stage. You have, you know, everything from drag queens to vaudeville-style performers and just various acts. And it's different every week.
So it's a variety show every week.
That's cool.
It's a very unique variety show. It's definitely a very alternative lifestyle-friendly show.
Well, the Bang Bang show, is that a particular group that puts that on?
Yeah, it's a particular group, you know, and they kind of host it. And they just bring in a bunch of guest DJs and guest performers every week. Mm-hmm. And we honestly never know what's going to happen that week. I'd tell you specifically, but it's different every week. They're friends with a variety of performers. A lot of them are from out of town, mm-hmm. and just whoever shows up that day, I guess, you know, we put them on stage.
Who runs it? Who is in charge of the Bang Bang Show? Should someone want to give their resume and be a part
of
this?
Well, right now, probably the best thing to do would be to contact Kelly.
Okay.
And he'll put you in touch with the right people.
And Kelly is the owner.
Kelly's the owner of the Hidden Castle. Yes.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit more about the venue.
Well, the venue itself, it currently seats 400 people. It's coded up to 400 people, and we can configure it in a variety of ways. We're working on a renovation project that will expand it up to 700 people. It's the largest private venue. Yeah, largest private venue in Norman.
Well, I can say from being there, for one thing, it looks like a castle.
It really does look like a castle.
And there's a performance area with a stage, and it's a large stage, and it's actually elevated off the ground.
And the stage can be configured also for different events.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
They did a good job building it. They can expand it for larger events, add a runway.
Oh, wow. Cool.
I don't think you guys got to see the runway, but a lot of times during the Bang Bang Show, they'll actually have the runway out. That way, when they're doing the drag queen thing, they can prance up and down the runway or do their acts. With the bands and the dance floor, they usually reduce the stage down to just what the bands need.
Well, I notice you guys do have some good sound, and the lights are pretty good, too.
Yeah, the sound and lights are all controlled through the booth, which is a modular booth. They can move it backwards as we expand it later. All the wiring runs through a tunnel under the floor.
Wow.
And it's all professionally set up. Kelly's been doing theater for over 25 years, and the sound tech there has been doing sound as long as I can remember.
So is that the DJ booth, the booth that was behind where the Toxic Goddesses were sitting? I know you guys listening can't see my hand doing this, but...
that's the sound booth, and we can set up for a DJ there, or there's also the means to set up a DJ up on stage as well, depending on where we want to put it that night.
Would you say that you're looking for some performers, or...?
We're always interested in talking to performers, and Kelly's the one who handles that. And right now, mostly, we're just trying to help draw a bigger crowd for the performers who are already there.
Right.
Because it's Norman's biggest, best-kept secret.
That's Norman, Oklahoma.
That's Norman, Oklahoma, right there by the highway.
Which is the University of Oklahoma home city.
Yep. And just on Lindsay and 24th Street, just right off the highway. It's kind of back in the shadows a little bit. It's a little hard to find, but once you find it, the building will really stand out. It's the only castle-looking building.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a castle.
It really is. We got a big tower and everything.
It's large, and one of the things that I was really impressed is the quality of the people that were there and the diversity of the people that are there.
Oh, I agree.
It's a really great crowd. It's a large venue, and we had a blast there.
We did.
And I think that if people have something really unique to present, that maybe this is a place that they ought to approach.
And
if you can't get some action someplace else around, particularly, in Oklahoma, then maybe you ought to be looking at the Hidden Castle. And if you are just someone who wants to see something different, you're going to be hard pressed to find a place that's better suited to, all kinds of unusual stuff, including, I heard they have anything from punk bands to DJs to country bands.
A girl that picks up stuff with her boobs.
Right, to what you were talking about, which is the Bang Bang Show.
Yeah.
So you've got a little bit of everything. Sounds like it's kind of a roulette deal.
And they also have something different
every night.
I know Kelly told me that they have like wedding receptions there. And also other functions. So you can also have a private function there as well.
Yeah, we can do private parties, and that's something that Kelly handles directly. I really don't have anything to do with that. I know that during the week, and certainly for earlier time slots, it's a lot easier to schedule. Currently, the weekends, especially Friday and Saturday, are pretty busy.
Well, tell us how to get in touch with Kelly. Should we want to call him and harass him?
The best way to call is just call the castle's number, which is area code 405-701-0870. And you can also look for us up on the internet at hiddencastlemusic.com. It's a website that we're developing. We should have it ready here by the end of the week or next week.
Yay.
All right, that's awesome. Well, Mark, we sure appreciate you talking to us.
Thank you.
I think it's really informative. And I'd like to encourage everyone to get down to the Hidden Castle and check it out.
Well, thanks for having me out here, and I hope to see you guys again soon.
Well, you will, absolutely.
Yes, and if nothing else, we'll be scheduling a big New Year's party, and you'll definitely be invited then, too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And now, back to the Fetish Show.
That was our interview with Mark from the Hidden Castle. And up next, we have a very special story time with Princess Zoe.
And my friends.
This story time has a couple of friends involved and some very interesting stories they have to tell. So that's coming up next.
It's story time with Princess Zoe.
All right, on this special episode of Story Time with Princess Zoe, we have two guests, which are named Dustin and Jay, and now I'm going to turn it over to Zoe for story time.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Dustin. Thanks for being here.
What's up, Zoe? How are you?
The reason I invited you guys is that you well know is you both have some awesomely cool, nasty stories to tell.
I think that's the understatement with
you. Well, Dustin, let's start with you, Jay. I think that would be the way to go. So, really? Y'all just.
So, Jay is setting the bar.
Jay is
and
setting
I'm
the bar.
And I'm going to jump it so much.
I don't know about that.
Well, I know that you can interject while he's saying
shit. I'll totally make shit up.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited to be here with you publicly telling this story.
Well, it's pretty exciting.
It's an exciting story that you're about to hear.
You know, and I can't wait to hear because it's been going on back and forth all night. And I'm just kind of waiting to hear. So I think you just need to
this
jump
story
right in.
Is so noteworthy that we had you come tell it. So why don't you tell it now?
All right. Well, as you know, in lifestyle circles, there's a lot of funny stories and a lot of weird shit. One of my best stories, this one, happened when I was a kid back in high school, long before I ever knew anything about BDSM or
like
lifestyle
just a baby.
Or kink or anything.
Oh, wow.
An innocent baby back then.
I was. It's a tragedy. That's why I'm fucked up
now. And you're
grown
up to be such a great man.
I know. And so when I was in high school, I used to go with my church youth group to go backpacking up in the mountains.
We know where this is going to lead.
Yeah, exactly. And so...
You don't know. You be quiet.
One time when I came back from one of my backpacking trips, my parents had decided while I was gone to take my younger brother and they go on vacation. But
what
my,
the fuck? They left you?
They
you were on a backpacker?
Just home alone, I'm telling
what?
You.
What?
Wow,
oh, my
that's
fucking
some
God.
Fucked up shit.
No wonder why.
But they left my older brother at the house, and you know how
yes.
that happens. You know, parents go away, and they house party, right?
Right.
So... We pull up, and I'm getting out of the van.
After backpacking all weekend.
After
with
backpacking
the church.
All weekend. I was worn.
Right.
And so...
Not in a good way.
That's right. And so there's like 40 cars at the house.
Holy shit.
So I'm like, oh, really? Damn it. So I'm going in the house, and as the younger brother, of course, all of my brother's girlfriends
like
and buddies and stuff, they
like
all want to play grab ass with the younger guy, right?
Uh-oh.
And so I'm walking in.
No, I was always told by my brother's friends that, oh, your brother's so hot. I just want to date him. I'm like, why do I need to know this? I mean, really?
They always wanted to pick on me. It was like.
See, I never got picked on because I was the taller one.
Okay. Hey. You're fucking derailing shit here.
I know. What's up with that?
You interjected.
I'm sorry. I go back to.
Okay, so. Go in the house, and I'm just worn. I want to go to bed. So I take all my stuff, and I kind of throw it in the entry hall there, and I go back to my room. I open up the door, and there's two of my brother's friends fucking on my bed.
What the hell?
I know.
And so these are like seniors, sophomores, what, high school?
I have no idea.
Fucking assholes.
They're
fucking on your bed.
There's two people fucking on my bed that I didn't know. And so
did you just stand there and watch for a little bit? I mean, because you know,
no, I was
I mean, that's
worn,
what I
dude.
Shut
I was
up,
tired.
Destiny,
I wanted to go to
story.
Sleep. So I yelled at my brother, "Why is there people fucking on my bed? come get these people out of my room. I want to go to sleep.
You actually said that to your
brother? I did. I did.
You were like a retarded little brother.
I was.
He probably hated you.
And I still am. But, so he came and he apologized and he got him out of there. And I said, all right, I'm going to go take a shower. And while I'm gone, I want you to strip my bed. I want you to put me some clean sheets on there. And
damn, he was going to do all that? Shit.
Well, that's what he said he would do because I was pretty pissed about having two people fucking on my bed when I came home.
Very dominating for the little brother. I mean, don't
fuck
you think?
Yeah, we was fucking pissed. We were tired.
You my bitch. I might be younger, but you my bitch.
So you went to take a shower like in your bathroom? Like what?
Well, no, there was party going on in the front of the house, so I went back to my parents' bedroom to take a shower in their bathroom because party was supposed to not be going on back there. And
or anywhere because so, their parents are out of town.
Well, there is that. So I go back there, and I get to the door, and I open it up, and the girl who was standing there covers herself up with the shower curtain, and the guy was laying in the tub because she was shitting on him.
Okay. What? Oh, so you open the door to your parents' bathroom, and there's a dude laying in the tub, and a chick standing over him.
Shitting.
And you saw this shit?
In the act.
He had a little turd right in the middle of his chest.
Wow.
What? What did you do?
Yeah, I mean, whatever you get
I
into.
I said, what the fuck?
You said, what the fuck?
That's
you,
what I said.
What did they say?
So, yeah, what did they say?
They didn't say anything. They
They're probably girls.
Deer
probably just
caught
screamed.
In the headlights kind of deal, you know? I mean.
But what happens next is what amazes me about the whole story. What Jay told me is like the rest of the night, he was like laying in his bed going, oh my God.
I didn't get any sleep that night, Zoe.
He was like traumatized trying to figure out why this guy wanted to be shit on.
That's why I'm fucked up now.
What did you come up with? Why do you think you wanted to be shit
like
on?
Sounds like a turning point.
It's probably a good turning point. I mean,
so did you think like this guy? He asked her to she accidentally shitted on him.
No, I don't think it was
shit on someone.
I mean, what are you thinking? Like you're like you know 10, like going.
What was the scenario?
You're like after
here. Let me lay down in the shower.
Why do you have shit on your chest? I don't understand. What are you doing? That's not cool.
That's so fucking not cool. So
well, to some people, you never really know. Well,
that's just not sexy at all.
No, so did you take a shower? Take a shower in that bathroom then after they were in there shitting?
Did you burn the shower after that?
What the fuck happened next?
Did you light it in
like, you're like fucking nasty and you got to take a shower and there's people shitting on each
did
other.
Did you just move
shower.
Out of the
what
house
happened?
Or?
What happened? You're not giving us the details, okay?
I went to the other bathroom. I didn't go in that bathtub. I left that for him to clean up.
And so later that night when you're in bed, like, alone, thinking of the day's events, people fucking
crying
in your bed. Crying. And
oh,
you're
wow.
thinking of the shit that you saw come out of someone's asshole onto the
ground. My eyes.
What were you thinking? Like, oh, my God. Like, that dude.
Well, I wasn't thinking, boy, that was hot.
Well, thank God. I mean,
that was
you
not
know.
On my mind at the moment. I didn't even think it was all that cool that I got to see her boobs. I mean, it just
well,
no,
shit.
It just wasn't. No,
was it like a nasty turd, like a big turd, or like a little?
Well, I didn't inspect it.
Well, I don't know. You said there was a turd on his chest.
It could have been diarrhea. It could have been just like that watery shit.
Could have been like
shit,
a payday candy
really
bar.
Gross.
Trying to block
it
out
like
of my mind.
Was it like a full wholesome shit, or was it more like
the,
is it more like pellets, like kind of the gerbil pellets?
How was she standing over him? Was she like? Was she like this, like crouched down, or like?
Or was she just kind of?
Was the girl
over?
Hot?
She her boobs were
as
out.
As I recall, she was kind of hot.
Wow!
But she was still shitting on a guy. So.
Clearly kinky. I mean, she takes
hey,
the third
this
input.
Is all about.
So did you see the shit fall from her ass to his chest?
No, I didn't stay there long enough for that.
Okay.
And, thank right, God
he had to go get the video camera.
And by the time he came back, they were done.
So I just wonder if anyone else accidentally walked into a shitting scene.
Well, you know, it happens a lot.
Yeah, totally. I
on
mean,
accident?
Yeah. I mean, Zoe, it probably happens to you once a week, don't you think?
No. I don't shit, so.
I don't know. She just uses a shower shot.
No, I'm not nasty. I'm a girl. I don't do that shit.
Well, she was a girl.
But she was nasty. Well,
or
what
she acted
fuck?
Like one.
She's like fucking shit on a dude in your in your parents' bathtub.
I know.
Dude.
I know,
that's
right?
Fucked up.
My question is, did your parents ever find out?
Yeah, that's when I think I asked you.
Not until now.
Well, do they listen to this shit? Are they going
one
to?
One would hope not.
Oh, let's hope. Not.
All right, well, Dustin, why don't you try to raise the bar on this story just here a little bit? Why don't All you right. tell us one of your weekend events?
Well, it wasn't a weekend. It was more just 6 hours.
And it didn't take place in the city either, did it?
No, it took place in Dallas. I went down to... which is a...
can you say this? Like, people don't care if you're like...
I really don't know.
You're going to go with it anyhow.
Yes, because I went to a place where only gay men are allowed in.
That's so fucking...
Because Zoe's not going to get in.
That's like totally discrimination. I'm going to sue. Know,
it's not my rule. I did not make it
What's
up.
What's wrong?
Who wouldn't want Zoe there anyway?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Bunch I mean, if,
fucking
if you
gay
really
dude?
Were to strap everything down and put a strap-on...
Think they let me in?
Maybe.
Hey,
I mean, never know.
I have it on good authority that gay guys still like boobs.
That-
I don't. I'm not a boob guy. I don't like boobs. I'm more of an ass.
He's more of an ass man.
See, Zoe, if you were to get up right now and turn around, I'd smack your ass.
No.
Why?
I don't like that. I do the smacking around here.
Okay. Hey, you do have a world famous ass, by the way.
I do. It's in a magazine.
Oh, that's
Thank
good.
Thank you, Dirk. Okay, so you went
You're
to
welcome.
You went to the spa. You went to the Innocent Spa.
Yes.
Where they do what at the spa?
I make asses
it's
famous.
Like do your fingernails and tail and your tongue.
No, at this spa, guys walk around in towels and fuck each other all night.
Nice.
That's all they do.
So it's like the final days of Rome.
So like
exactly.
So
thank
like,
you.
Like you go into the front door.
And
to
there's
the spa.
Like there's
like a gay dude there.
I think I don't know. I didn't ask. I didn't go, hey, when did you get off? No, me and my friend went down there.
It was like a straight chick there. That's what it was. So
that would have been weird if it was been a straight chick. I think all the guys would have kind of been kind of embarrassed. You know what I mean,
y'all
I would have
Y'all
been.
Should be fucking embarrassed anyway. So go ahead. Tell okay. your damn story.
So we were, me and my friend, we were just rocking around butt ass naked because we didn't give a shit.
In the spa.
In the spa. Yes.
Spa. Does the spa have like a pool or like?
Yeah, there's a pool.
So it's like four levels of.
Yeah,
naked.
There's like four levels
so
of naked dudes.
So like the first level is like what? Like
it's like a gym and like
so
the
like
lobby
a front.
Area.
You got a front. You know.
Yeah, you got like
did
a front.
Did you say
area.
Naked tree?
Yes, I made that up. Did you like you caught that?
I did.
It's so good, Dirk. I mean, so, thank you for chiming in. Yeah.
So like the first floor is like it's a.
It's like a gym.
Front, yeah, it's a gym.
It's
per
all
se.
That bullshit.
But then you go upstairs,
and that's where all the magic happens.
And what magic?
Magic.
Happens?
Yes.
So after you work out and get sweaty balls,
yes,
then you can go upstairs, and then what happens there?
Well, on the next level up, the second floor, there's a whole bunch of rooms. It's like a little bed, and you get a key, and you just go in and out of. Rooms to get fucked if you want and there's a little maze. It's all dark and there's a sling in there, and you know what, first time I was
wow.
like why not. I mean, I'm gonna go and lay in the sling. I got set
sling?
Fucked seven times.
Why in the sling?
Yeah, in the sling.
Describe the sling for me.
It was crappy. It's just
like hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah,
like,
it's hanging from the ceiling.
That's an unfortunate word.
Like,
by the way.
Are you on?
I know.
How are you hanging? Like, I need some fucking description here. You guys like suck at the description.
I'm so sorry.
That's an unfortunate word as well.
Okay, so you're
if
like
if anyone's doing the sucking around here, it's probably me.
So right. You're like hanging this way from the sling or this way? What the hell?
I guess face up where I can see whoever's fucking me.
So like you're sitting in a chair.
Yeah. With my ass just kind of out there, and I'm talking to my friend, and he convinces me to get into the sling. And
like you couldn't get out once you were in till seven dudes fucked you in the ass.
He didn't want out.
Yes, thank you. I didn't want out. Okay. And I have to say, there's this one guy there. He was very verbal and was just like, what am I doing to you? What am I doing to you? And I was like,
you're fucking me, dude.
Zoe likes that.
Yeah. And like, I was just moaning. It felt good. And my friend was just sitting next to me.
Your friend was like sitting next to you?
Wow. It was like those little
like bands. Holding your hand.
That's
like getting
a true
your towel.
Friend. That's a real friend.
Yeah. You're like getting like, oh, I'm on number five.
Thanks for being with me.
Here's
while
your
I'm
towel,
getting
dude. Here, let me wipe the sweat off of your.
Can I get you a glass of water?
Yes.
Oh, please. Thank you. No. And he was just sitting there. He's like, you're fucking him, man. You're fucking him. I was like, dude, this guy's really weird, but I'm in a slang getting fucked by seven people. But I really don't give a shit.
So did you know?
At that point, weird is relative.
Did you know that it was like seven dudes were going to fuck you in the ass like when you got in the sling?
No, I just thought whoever's going to fuck me is going to fuck me.
Wow. So whoever gets in the sling is like fair game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's another level.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, three levels of sex. Can you guys handle that?
No.
I don't think so.
What the fuck happened?
Zoe can't. I mean, that's why I don't think you should go.
I want to go. I want to see dudes fucking each other in the ass.
In a sling.
In a fucking sling. I got to see this shit. I've never seen that.
Well, me and my friend might be going Saturday, so if you want to come.
I want to go. Okay. You know what? They cannot legally keep me from going in there. That is discrimination. That's just
hey,
so
bad. You're holding up the third level. I want to hear about the third level.
I want to get in the fucking front door. I want to send you in undercover. Oh.
You're scaring me.
My question is will his wife allow it?
Would you allow him to go into the gay spa? Anna, this is his wife, Anna.
Absolutely.
Sweet.
You're screwed,
I'll have to
dude.
Leave you around.
He's a big boy. He can take care of himself.
Plus, I think he's the top, so he would never bottom.
I don't know.
It's
what's
a rumor.
I don't know what's happening here.
Oh, a rumor.
I see a
I
shift.
I say go to the spa, and then you can find out for sure.
I see a shift in the DS relationship here. Something's happening.
Okay, so this third level has like all these specialty rooms. Like there's a honeymoon suite.
What's in there?
I have no clue.
What the fuck? Whatever.
Like I just like bars the fucking hey. Can I come in? Can I get fucked? Please. I mean, I'm gonna be on a podcast, so I need to know what's in this fucking room.
Hey, can you guys hold it up? I mean, I'm trying to do some investigation here.
Well, I mean, stop sticking the dick in my mouth.
Oh, you gave head too.
Yes, I did. In the maze. Wow. I gave some head. Yeah. Wow.
Were you taking notes?
No.
Damn it.
So did anyone come in your mouth?
No. I was thank God.
You don't like that?
I mean, I do. It's just.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. With people I don't know. I don't know if I want really be like, yeah.
No. Okay. Well, there's.
Well, I'll pass on that.
There's a couple other rooms. Like there's a dungeon room where there's like this huge ass cage.
But of course you didn't inspect that either, right?
No, because
you should be getting fucked in the ass.
Yes, I got fucked 18 times in one night.
You're lying.
Wow.
No, I'm not. See, I told you I was a slut, did I not?
Holy shit. So you
got I'm sore.
My number went from 52 to 83 in one night. So
God dang.
I know. I'm a
you
slut.
You keep a diary?
In my head.
You need one.
You do, dude. I agree. You
Dear
should.
Diary, I got fucked 18
well,
times.
Well, at least like a little notch or a little mark or something, you know.
Oh, no. But the dungeon, well, the leather room has just a huge cage and a sling and all the
another
other
sling?
Yeah.
You went from sling to sling.
No, I didn't get in the other sling, unfortunately.
There's a nickname there, I think, like sling slut.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Okay.
Sling slut. Slut. Sling slut.
Sling slut.
Sling slut.
Okay. And I walked past this one. It's called the mirror room. And there's mirrors all over the place, like from the floor to the ceiling. I didn't get fucked in there. So no stories about that.
So how do you choose who's going to fuck you? Or just be like people just ram their dick into your ass and like randomly. Like, there's an ass. I'm not a dick.
I just bent over. I got fucked mostly in the maze. And so I just kind of bent over and took it.
Oh, my God.
So
what do you have to say about that, Jay?
Wow.
Is that it? Wow. I mean, I think you should come. I think you would have a really good time.
You should come.
Actually,
and your wife is going to let you.
I don't know if I would come at all.
That's a horrible joke. Actually, it was pretty funny.
All right, guys. That was a very interesting and nasty fucking story.
Wrong.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I tried to be nasty as hell.
And they all lived happily ever after.
That's right.
Thank you for sharing.
And now, back to the fetish show.
So that was a very interesting story time with Princess Zoe there.
Yes, it was. I love my friends.
You have some pretty wild friends there.
My friends are really cool, I think.
They're certainly unusual. I know that you collect quite an entourage of unusual friends.
They have cool stories.
And those two are no exception.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed their stories. I know I did.
Well, I'm sure you did. So anyway, that's going to pretty much wrap it up for this episode of The Fetish Show. I'd like to say, if you're interested in knowing a little bit more about what we're doing, and maybe you want to leave a comment or something for us, then you can go to
or
The Fetish
money.
Show. Or some, yeah, if you want to leave some money for us, we're good with that.
Or pictures of your dicks.
You might go to thefetishshow.com. You can leave comments for us there. You can get more information.
And iTunes.
Absolutely. You can go to iTunes. You can subscribe there at iTunes. And we're going to be expanding out to Zune and to BlackBerry and everything else you can imagine soon. I also like to say, if you want to know more about Princess Zoe, and I know you do, go to theprincesszoe.com. If you want to know more about me, then please go to dirkhooper.com. I want to really push our Facebook stuff this time. Facebook.com. You can go to The Fetish Show, of course. Join our fan page.
It makes them feel good to get more friends.
Friends are awesome. And
I get the stats like every day when more people join.
Oh, man. There's just nothing like there's just nothing like Facebook friends. So if you want to find me on there and make me happy, then go to Facebook.com /Dirk.Hooper. Or you can just search for me, because there's no other Dirk Hoopers out there on the planet.
If you want to make me happy, go to Twitter. Find me on Twitter. My tweets.
You can also go to Facebook.com /The Princess Zoe to find Zoe. And finally, we've got a toll-free number. I'm going to say it one more time. 1-888-506-0221. Give us a call.
And you can find me on MySpace. Forgot to say it. Just throwing that out there just in case.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. For Princess Zoe, this is Dirk Hooper. Until next time, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We're always looking for interviews with models, artists, and BDSM lifestyle leaders, as well as information about events and products. For more information, check out thefetishshow.com. Contact Dirk Hooper directly by emailing Dirk@thefetishshow.com.